I find myself in remembering back of my childhood often. And as I've shared many times, I've had a very experiential childhood, and maybe that's because my mom always thought she knew what we were doing, and I'm not too sure she always knew what we were doing. But I don't know how courageous she was, but she seemed to let us do some things that were very on the edge or very courageous. Well, riding downhill was one of those things that I can remember as a kid that was a consistent thing. I just loved to ride downhill. The other day, I took Mike and Bethany and the girls went, and we went riding downhill. And I find it just as exhilarating today as I did back then. But I also found out when I was videoing some of the riding downhill that the guy behind the camera was breathing like he had just walked to the top of the mountain. So I think that was me. And I realized that the trip back up and down the hill can be very labor intensive. I didn't seem to notice that when I was a kid. But I rode downhill on many, many things in my life, and all the way from things you're supposed to ride downhill on and things that you're not supposed to ride down hill on. And I've ridden standing up on runner sleds, endeavoring to stay up all the way down. All the things, the little round saucers, one on each foot to see if you could go down. I mean, they're just the one thing after another, after another, after another. One of the things that we had that was very challenging for me was called a ski bike. And it was a ski bike, was basically a bicycle with skis on it. And so it was very challenging for me, and I don't know if I ever mastered the ski bike. Because the other day I was thinking about going to ride downhill, so I started to look for things to ride downhill on, and because I didn't have a whole supply of things, and I ended up buying a toboggan, but I was looking for a ski bike. Because it was one of those things that was really, it's really nerve-wracking to ride a ski bike. Well, I started to search for ski bikes online just to see, and this come up. Just look at this. Just to be honest with you, I never got to be that good. All right? I got off the ski bike once, but I was not able to get back on it. Okay? I don't know why you would want to get off a ski bike and then endeavor to get back on it, because when I got off it, I was in the snow, the ski bike was down the hill. But I found that interesting, and I just found myself watching that video of this guy riding his ski bike down the hill. But then all of a sudden my eye dropped down and seen this statement below at 181,827 views. That means to tell me that 181,827 people had watched that video, right? I think that's what that means. So then all of a sudden I started to feel this angst in me that there was 181,827 people that had become a viewer and not a doer. And so there's one guy that knows what it's like to ride down a hill on that ski bike, and there's 181,827 people that just watched it. So I begin to be convicted over that and begin to think, God, what am I doing here? Am I a watcher or am I a doer? Am I just someone, am I one of the 181,827 people that just watch? Or has it actually taken place in my life? Am I making sense already this morning? I got to make sense here. Are we one of the 181,827 people that are watching this video? I wonder if we have become more of a watching people rather than an experiencing people. Have we become more of a watching people rather than an experiencing people? Are we watchers? Are we observers? Or are we experiencers? Are we knowers? Are you an observer or are you a knower? And I want to unpack that a little bit this morning and just ask that question several times. Are you observing? Are you on the observation deck? Are you just observing what's going on? Are you just watching the video go by? Or are you actually knowing what that means to be on that sled? The observe is to watch without taking part. And to know is to have an encounter with. So the question again is, are you observing? Are we watching without taking a part? Or do we know it? Are we experiencing it to have an encounter with? Are you observer or are you a knower? I'm telling you right now, it might be safer to be an observer. And it might be less work to be an observer. If observing, you might observe enough. And I wrote this on my notes for my own. I wrote this in my thinking book. Maybe I can observe enough that I can talk like I'm a knower. If I can observe just enough and enough and enough, and all of a sudden I can become talking like I'm actually experienced it. So maybe I just need to observe some more. It's safer. It's less work to be an observer rather than a knower. It's to be less work just to watch without participating in it and then to experience or have an encounter with it. Whatever that is, and we're going to unpack that a little this morning, but it, whatever it is, whether it's a ski bike or something else. Are we one of 181,827? Are we one of the one? Are you an observer or are you a knower? In 1 Corinthians 4, Paul is addressing and observing people who are talking like they are a knowing people. And I believe Paul is bringing it. And he makes this statement in 4:19, "But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have." And then the very next statement is this, "For the kingdom, because the kingdom of God is not about talk, it's about power." So I'm going to come, you're talking, you're observing. He said, you're observers, and you're talking like you're knowers. And I will come, he said, and we'll see what the talk is based in. Do you know the power? Because the kingdom of God is not about you flapping your gums. It's about the power. It's about the power, and the dunamis, if we want to go back to the Greek word, the strength, the power, the ability, the power to for performing miracles. That's what this power, that's the definition of this power. He said the kingdom of God is not about talk, it's about power. It's about the power for performing miracles. So I got to wonder, and I'm going to ask of me several times and you as well, are we observers of the power or are we knowers of the power? Do we know God's power or do we observe God's power? Because the kingdom of God is about the power. It's about power that, back up please, it's about power for performing miracles. It's about the moral power and excellence of soul. There is power, God says. There is power for you to do the miraculous. The kingdom of God is about the miraculous. The kingdom of God is about moral power, the steadfastness down inside of you to stay strong in the face of opposition. Don't just talk about it, he said. There is power to stay steadfast. For the moral power, the excellence of your soul, he said. That's about what the kingdom is about. And there is the power and influence which belongs to the riches and wealth. That's the same power. It's the same power. He said, the same power you think, you look out there, the power that belongs to riches and wealth, that's the kind of power I'm talking about. The influence, that's the kind of power I'm talking about. The power and resources arising from numbers. I told Cheryl that this week. I said, you know what? With that kind of power, when I end up in something and I know the power of God is alive in me and I'm a knower of the power, there's not just me. There's a million of me walking into this situation. Because the power is there. But if I'm an observer, I haven't engaged with it. If I'm a knower, I've engaged with the power of God. Are we engaging in the power of God? Or only we watching the video? Just be warned, it's easier and it's less dangerous and less scary perhaps to observe, just be an observer of God's power. Because when we become a knower of God's power, the power does something inside of us. He said that the kingdom of God is not about a lot of talk. It's about power. It's about dunamis. It's about power. Do we want to know his power? We sing the song, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And it goes on to say this, would you be free from the burden of sin? How's that true? Because there's power in the blood. But not if you're only an observer. It's not a reality in your life. Are you a knower? And then that power is a reality in your life. As you engage with God, engage with his power, that power becomes a reality in your life. Would you or evil a victory win? Not without the power, you're not going to. Would you be free from your passions and pride? Would you be whiter and much whiter than snow? Would you do service for Jesus your King? Would you live daily his praises to sing? I have a feeling that the church does a lot more singing about the power than knowing the power. Church, it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to know the dunamis. To know the power of God. Not just sing about it. Not just sit on the observation deck and watch it go by. But the real power of God that wants to do something in your life. That wants to do something in you and through you. Do you want to know his power? We're talking about living a regret-free life. I'm telling me right now, and I'm telling you as well, that when we know the power, not just observe the power, but to know the power of God, that will leave us with an unregretted life, an unregretted hour, an unregretted day, an unregretted week, an unregretted month, an unregretted year, and an unregretted lifetime. When we know the power, when we're engaged in the power, we just don't sing about the power, because the kingdom of God is about power, he said. But not for the observer. It will never be a reality in your life. Oh, you'll talk about it like you know the power. And you'll answer the Sunday school questions like you know the power. Get a grip. You don't know the power. Because the observers don't know the power. Only the knowers know the power. And so are you an observer this morning, or are you a knower this morning? And I just got to have something in my hand. So I got to ask you, are you an observer or are you a knower? Are you an observer or are you a knower? I'm going to preach the rest of the message and I'm going to ask you, are you an observer or are you a knower? Is that the right way? No, because sometimes I'll preach the whole message and all of a sudden somebody will tell me at the end the K was backwards the whole time. I was like... See, I can get this one. I'm not the sharpest tack in the box, but I can figure that one out. God says, are you a knower? Or have you convinced yourself and you've observed so much that you can talk like a knower, but really you're an observer? And what God wants to bring into your life through being a knower of God's power is second to nothing. He's going to bring dunamis into your life, the strength of soul. He's going to bring the strength of soul into your life. He's going to bring the power to do miracles in your life. Over and over and over in the scripture, we see the power is displayed. I want to be a knower, not an observer.
In Acts 1:8 says this. It says, but you will receive power, dunamis, the same talk, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And listen, I get the feeling right now that some people are saying, I heard that before. I'm not asking if you've ever observed it. I'm asking if you know it. For crying out loud, I can quote a verse too. I want to know the power. The power comes through the Spirit, he says. You will receive power. You will receive dunamis. You will receive the ability to do miracles. You're going to receive the ability to stay steadfast in your soul. You're going to receive the same ability that you see in wealth can accomplish in this world. You're going to receive the ability like there's a million of you marching across the world. Hang here, he said, because I'm not sending you out there, because the kingdom of God is not about talking, Peter. It's about power. You need to wait for the power. Preach myself a headache already. I want to be a knower. I don't want to be an observer. Observing is easier, perhaps safer, perhaps. And again, you observe and you observe and I observe and we observe and we observe and we observe, and all of a sudden we think we're knowers and we're duping ourselves. He said, you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. So number one, the Spirit brings the power. Okay? Jesus said, wait for the power. The Spirit brings the power. So when do I get the Spirit? And it says this in Ephesians 1:13. It says this, and you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You received the Spirit right at that moment. Bang! The Spirit come alive. Bang! The power is on you. So when does the Spirit come? Who is the giver of the power? The Spirit comes through being in Christ. So let me just make a simple statement. The relationship with Jesus, the Spirit is in us. The Spirit in us, there is power. No relationship with Jesus, no Spirit. No Spirit, no power. That's what those two verses say. So I don't know if I'm talking to those who may not have a relationship with Jesus, then this message is not for you until you have a relationship with Jesus, because having a relationship with Jesus is a prerequisite to having the Spirit, which is a prerequisite of having the power. But I think I'm talking to those like me who have observed the power. Even though I have the power, I've become an observer and not a knower. So if you're in this relationship with Jesus, do you observe or do you know? Do you want to know the power? Over and over and over in Scripture, we see the power demonstrated. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot. He was filled with the Spirit, which means he was filled with the power, which means he wasn't only about talking about the kingdom. He was about living the kingdom of God. The power will cause supernatural action. Look what it did in Philip's life. He knew. He knew where God wanted him to be. Push the button, please. He knew. And the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. And then Philip ran up to the chariot. Push the button. The power to leave our place and join Jesus in his place is when we know the power. The observer will want Jesus to join them. The knower will join Jesus. Are you with me this morning? I could say I'm almost done, but that would be a lie. Here we go. Are you with me this morning? Are you waiting for Jesus to join you? That means you're an observer. If you're ready to join Jesus wherever he leads you, that means you're a knower of his power. The world may think you're crazy. Your friends may think you're nuts. Somebody may think you're off the wall. I'm telling you, who doesn't think that? God, because he knows you've become a knower of his power. You're tired of just observing his power, and you want to know his power, and you want to join Jesus where he's working. Not expect Jesus to come into you and to do what you want him to do. A knower will join Jesus. An observer will want Jesus to join them. And the crowd joined in an attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten after they had been severely flogged. They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such an order, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet to the stocks. And about midnight, the darkest moment of the day, in the darkest hour of their life, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. I'm telling you, they weren't able to do that because they observed God's power. They knew his power. And some of us are losing the battle with hardship because we've been observers all our life and we're not knowers of God's power. Are you with me this morning? Power to experience great trial and injustice and stay in the walk, capital W walk, the walk with Jesus. An observer will succumb to the hardship, the knower will be steadfast. He said, I'm telling you what, the kingdom of God is not just about flapping your gums. The kingdom of God is about doing and being what God wants us to be. I said, I'm telling you what, you can face the greatest trial and the greatest injustice that you ever have experienced in life. And when you know my power in the middle, in the darkest middle of that hour, you're going to sing praises and you're going to pray and you're going to be a witness to the people around you. You only an observer of God's power, you're going to lose that battle. And you're going to give up and you're going to shake your fist at God and you're going to flip God the bird and you're going to say, enough with God, enough with God, enough with God. Why? Because you've watched the video. You haven't known the power. I like it this way. That's not in my notes. That's all free. You know, you shouldn't talk about everything that runs through your mind when you're trying to talk about something else. Who touched me? Jesus said. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know the dunamis has gone from me. The power has gone from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at the feet of Jesus in the presence of all the people. She told why she had touched him, and now she had been instantly healed. Just let me, a little aside here, there's a big difference. There's a monumental difference of bumping into Jesus or touching Jesus. There were a lot of people bumping into Jesus. There was one that touched him. And the power came when she touched Jesus. The power what? The power, push the button, the power. The power that heals and restores. The observer will hear stories of healing and restoration. The knower will experience healing and restoration. The observer will hear someone else's story. The knower will be the one that's experiencing in their life. Because the kingdom of God is not about talk. It's about power. Stop acting, Paul says. Stop acting like you've seen and you know the power when you just observe the power. When you can know it. After they prayed, The place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The power that enables one to speak the word boldly. When you do speak, he said, I want you to know the power that you're speaking. So you speak it boldly. You just don't talk about it. The observer will talk about the word. The knower will speak the word. Are you with me this morning? Have you observed so much in your life that you've convinced yourself you're a knower? Today it stops. Now Stephen, a man of full of God's grace and power, dunamis, the power to do miracles, the power to stand steadfast, the power to have the soul that is firm inside of you, the power like you got a bazillion dollars, the power like there's a million of you. I've walked through some pretty scary moments in my life, whether it's out in the middle of the Colorado wilderness and not knowing where I'm at, and darkness is settling in, and darkness is a reality, or I'm walking down the streets of Matamoros or Ciudad Victoria, Mexico, with gang symbols all over the place. I'm telling you what, if there was a million of me walking down through there, I wouldn't have been near as fearful. And God said, there is a million of you walking down through there because you got the power. Stop observing. Start knowing. And Stephen, a man full of power and grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Miracles, an action that violates the natural law, that which is not a normal occurrence. This is my definition of a miracle. Actions that only can come from divine power through a knower of that power, dispense into a world that needs that power. Stephen was chosen to wait tables on the widows that were not being served properly for their food. Stephen, he was demonstrating great. I wonder what it was in his life. God, we don't have enough food to feed everybody here. God bless it. Whoom! Or was he going into someone's life and says, don't go there, their family or this situation is a scary family or a scary situation. And Stephen would walk in and he would defeat the darkness by the light that was in him, by the power that was in him. You're not going to talk your way through the darkness. You're going to know your way through the darkness. Are you with me? You're not going to talk your way through the darkness. You only know your way through the darkness. The power to demonstrate wonders and miraculous signs. An observer will be told of the stories. The knowers will be the writers of the stories. Listen, this is not a hybrid faith. Not only a few people get it. Because the kingdom of God is not about talk, it's about power. And it's not just for a select few. It's not for those that arrived at a certain level. It's not for those who have enough education. It's not for those who have enough money. It's not for those who've done it right enough. It's not for those who memorize the most Bible. It's not for those who attend here the most. It's not for here that can answer Jeopardy's question on Bible category all correctly. It's about the kingdom people and the power that's for the kingdom people. Because God's kingdom is not about talking and observing. It's about knowing his power. We need to know his power. And you will be a story writer, not just a story hearer. I come to a point in my life one time when I'd heard testimony after testimony after testimony. And I was so encouraged by people's testimonies. But I come to the point and say, God, I'm done living on someone else's testimony. I want my own. I want my own. He said, then stop being an observer and start being a knower. You'll get your own. Romans 15, 13. I'm on my last page. It doesn't even go all the way to the bottom. When I was in school, you had to write 8-page paper. I counted it. Once it's past half, it's another page, right? So you had to cheat the margins a little bit, you know, 12.5 font, you know, those types of things. But you've all done it. You know it. So this is a whole page because I'm past half, but we're on the last one, and it's not a whole page. Romans says this, Romans 15, 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by what? By the power of the Holy Spirit. You got no hope? That's because you've been observing God's power, not knowing it. Is your hope waning? Even do you struggle with your hope? Then listen, say, God, right now I'm stop observing your power. I need to know your power because my hope meter is going down. The hope, holding on to the promises of God no matter what is going on around you. That's the definition of hope in my book. Power to overflow with hope. The observer will wish and the knower will hope. Galatians 5. Since we live by the Spirit. Hallelujah. But the sentence doesn't stop there. Since you live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And when you keep in step with the Spirit, you become a knower, not just an observer. He's inviting you to be a knower. God is inviting you to be a knower. He's inviting you to be a knower. He's inviting us to be a knower. Are you tired of being one of the 181,827 people? I am. I'm going to order my own ski bike. Pray for me. The next video you see will be me on a ski bike. I'll show it at the hospital, don't worry. But I felt it when I read that there was a 181,827 views and one that knew. Keep in step with the Spirit. How do I keep in step with the Spirit? I'm telling you, this is like the last slide. How do I walk in the Spirit? You need to acknowledge, you need to ask. Okay, you need to acknowledge that you need God. And this is not to me, this is to God. God, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. God, I need you. I need to acknowledge John 15 in that passage. He said, apart from me, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You need to acknowledge that you need Jesus. You need to acknowledge that you've been an observer long enough. You said, I want to be a knower. I'm tired of God. I'm acknowledging right now, I want to be a knower, not just an observer. And then I need to surrender. Romans 12:1 says this. This is your reasonable act of worship, that you would surrender yourself as a holy sacrifice to God. Why do you think he's asking that? Why do you think that invitation? Again, he's inviting us to know. Because without a surrender, there is no knowing. Because you're always going to think God's got a hidden motive. You're always going to think that God's trying to do something or God's trying to screw up your life. For crying out loud, you can do that. You don't need God. God's the one who's going to unscrew your life. And then you got to know his power. And then you got to step his way. See how scary it is? You got to leave the top of the hill. Next week we're going to open up the box. Step his way. But you'll never step his way if you don't know his power. You'll only convince us
and yourself that you're stepping God's way. Knowing God's power will leave us with a day, a week, a month, a year, and a life with no regrets. How about it, New Life? Would you ask him? Would you stand up in front of the mirror? I'm going to challenge you. No altar call here today. We're going to have some more of those. But will you go to the mirror every day and say, God, I can't do this without you. God, into your hands I commit my spirit. I need to know your power. I'm going to walk with you. I need you, Jesus. I can't do this on my own. Into your hands I commit my spirit. I need to know your power, and I will step your way. Stand with me today. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these moments together. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Wonder-working power. Father, may we stop singing about it and start living it. The power to do the miraculous. The power to stay strong in the face of temptation, to have that soul security. The power of influence of millions and millions of fortune. The power of influence of millions and millions of an army. The kingdom of God is not about talk. It's about power. Father, may we know your power and not just observe it. Father, thank you for this day. Father, we're going to leave here. And my fear is for myself that I'm going to leave here. And I'm going to turn on the video of life of God's world. I'm just going to watch it over and over. Father, I want to know that video. I want to live that video. I want to live that power. So help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day.